Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We're glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Joel in the Old Testament, one of the prophets. Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Drop down to verse 17. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Lord, today, let your word touch us in very profound and deep ways. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise in your name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest here today, thank you for being with us. We're glad that you're here. I just want to let you know up front, I'm going to be primarily speaking to family, those who call Calvary home, and I pray it touches your heart as well, but that's who the message is intended for primarily today. We're starting this new series called... Did he say yay? That's one person's happy about this, so. Preparing the way, contending for a move of God. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Preparing the way, contending for a move of God. This series came out of some meetings between me and Pastor Daniel. And we were scheduled to have some meetings, and you know, he comes with his agenda, I come with mine. And how many know that sometimes you have your agenda, someone else may have their agenda, but how many know that God has an agenda? And if we're wise enough, we'll heed and listen to what God might be saying and follow his agenda. And so most of you know that in the summer, I spend time with Mary, I spend time with my family, and then I go to this place, and I have for 45 years, it's a place called Red Mountain in Ivins or St. George, Utah. And it's been my place. It's been a place where I could get alone with the Lord and just try to discern what the Lord is saying to me and to our church family and these kinds of things. I get up at about 5:15 in the morning, not because I'm an early riser, but because by 11 o'clock it's 110 degrees. And so I get out early just because I can't handle that kind of heat. The blessing of that is I get to see some incredible sunrises. And I've got pictures I won't show you today, but they're pretty amazing. And it's just a time of prayer. I have friends send me different worship songs that mean something to them. And so it's a powerful time. And so I was preparing to go to Red Mountain this last summer, but Mary caught the flu. And if you're a wise husband, you don't leave while your wife is sick. I'm just saying. And you stay there and you help her through it and you just be there for her. And so I didn't go. At the end of Red Mountain, my time that I had to cancel everything and not go, I was supposed to meet with Pastor Daniel. I was going to be in Red Mountain about an hour and a half, 2 hours down to Las Vegas. He was flying through to a conference, and we were going to meet there. And when Mary got to feeling better, I felt impressed. I felt this important. So he and I went ahead and met for a time of planning, a time of sermons, and just that kind of church stuff, and laying out the future and what the future looked like. And it was an important meeting, and so we went ahead and did it. To make a long story short, that first evening we went to dinner. There's some places Mary and I have enjoyed down in Orange County, and they have some of them in Henderson. So we went to this, and this is unimportant, I just feel like sharing it. We went to Lucille's Barbecue. Lucille's Barbecue, it's really good, really good. I'd recommend it. But that wasn't the point. You already know that, but I just wanted to share it with you. I don't remember all the things we talked about. I really don't. I know we talked about family some, and Pastor Daniel was listening to some podcasts with some very smart people. very wise pastors back east and things, and they were sharing different ways about the church and some struggles that the church, large C church, was having. And so we're talking along about all these, the ills and these things that are we see as problems in the church. And Pastor Daniel looked at me and he said, you know, you have felt that way for years. And there's no denying it. I have felt that way. Some struggles that I have seen. And then Pastor Daniel asked these words. He asked this question and he asked me, he said these words. He said, why would you quit without doing something about it? Why would you quit? Now, some of you aren't going to get what I'm about to say, but for me, that was what we call a God moment. A moment where, through the voice of a wonderful young man like Daniel, God speaks, and he asks the question of the hour. Why would you quit without doing something about it? And it hit me. Let's just say it was a rough night. It was a rough night. And so the next morning, we get together, Pastor Daniel and myself, and I had these timeshare points, not an investment, had these timeshare points that I got these rooms, and we went to his room because he keeps it cleaner, and sat at this table, and we were looking out over Las Vegas, which is, frankly, a microcosm of all that's wrong in the world today, but that's another message. And we're sitting there, and I'm looking out over that, and I said to Daniel, I said, we need to pray. Now, to be honest with you, sometimes we just jump into meetings. We get the agenda, and then we remember to pray at the end. But this time, the Lord had been so heavy on my heart with that God moment that I said we need to pray. And so I started praying. And I don't know when exactly the prayer, but I started weeping. And then I started sobbing. And in that moment, God came into that hotel room in Las Vegas and began to profoundly impact me, began to touch my heart, my soul, and he began a good work in me that I think I desperately needed. Daniel prayed, and then we started praying for revival and an awakening that God would stir the souls of he and I and others, and that we would be a catalyst for something in our community. And so we prayed and we did all of those things, and we started to dream about a revival. Now, if you're a guest here and you don't know what a revival is, it's basically an awakening. It's where the people of God turn back to God. It's where there is such a revival that the power of God is so thick and so heavy and so moving within the body of Christ that people outside the community of believers cannot help but be touched by what is taking place in the church. And the Spirit of God is so thick that people pull over and they give their hearts to Jesus because they just heard a dangerous message of Jesus, and things begin to happen. And I realized something. I realized two things. Number one, I guess I did have to go to Red Mountain, so I made my reservations again. I went home, told Mary I gotta go. 2 days later, I'm back in my car, headed back down to St. George, Utah. The second thing is, I knew this in my spirit. If God was going to bring revival, then it had to start with me. It had to start in me. Can't start out there. It has to start in here. And before it starts in here, it's got to start in each of us. It's got to start in me. And, you know, I getting to St. George, Psalm 139, Taylor alluded to it in his prayer. This prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, that's okay to read that. It's a little harder to pray it, and then it gets real hard when God does it. See, that's always the kicker. That's the hard spot where you pray, search my heart, O God, and see if there is anything deep within me that's there. And what God began in Las Vegas, God began to finish in St. George, Utah, where, you know, Hebrews, I think it's 12 and 15, or 15 and 12, one of those two, there was in my heart and in my spirit was a root of bitterness and resentment and bitterness that was wrapping itself slowly around my soul. Anyone been there? A bitterness that was real quiet. You know, the enemy isn't always seeking to, in loud voice, kill, destroy, and all that stuff. Sometimes the enemy of your soul is very subtle. and very slowly wraps around something in your heart that it starts out as a thought, and then it grows a little bigger, and then it's become something that you can be resentful about, and then bitterness sets in. And that's what had taken place in me, and my words to those closest to me, Daniel and Taylor and my wife and others, I would say things that were not words of hope, but rather were words of resentment and bitterness about things that I had been seeing. As I stopped to consider in St. George the basis or the reasoning for my resentment and bitterness, which was very real, I realized that there were two or three events that had hurt Mary and me very deeply in the last couple years. Had nothing really to do with you, but just something that hurt and went deep within, especially my soul. And, you know, that root is, it's Hebrews 12 and 15, that root of bitterness, it's slowly, I get this picture of my heart and slowly this weed of bitterness is wrapping itself around. And if it had gone on and continued, my heart would have died or become rather, not died, but become so hardened that nothing could reach me. How many know what I'm talking about today? How many know people like that? And so there at Red Mountain at St. George, Utah, God came to my rescue. God came to my rescue. It was when I confessed my sin, and I'm not going to put a face, I could say we were hurt, we were wounded, these people did, but at the end of the day, if I allow resentment and bitterness to grow, it's my sin. It's my baggage. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. And I confessed that. I confessed my sin, my brokenness, all the things that I was feeling. And it took me a day. There were times I wrote it out. There were times I prayed, and I had to deal with it. You know, I had to get to that place, Psalm 51, where David begins to pray, "Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And it was in that prayer and it was in that time at where I'm just alone with God that he met me there. And when I confessed, when I repented of my sin, he forgave, because that's what God does. When we are faithful to confess, he's faithful to forgive. When we are faithful to repent, he's faithful to forgive. And he recreated my heart, renewed my spirit, restored my joy, and gave me a willing spirit to say, after a long while of not wanting to, "Okay, God, whatever you want, wherever you lead, I'm gonna follow you." And maybe you're here today in this group, and you need to pray the same prayer. The truth is, maybe there's a weed of something growing up around your heart, around your soul, and whether you know it or not, until the Holy Spirit of God brings it to you, it's killing you. It's wounding you. It's tearing apart what God, in his mercy, wants to do in you. But this thing is right there. For me, it was the root of bitterness that I needed to deal with. And maybe you're the same way, but I'm going to tell you, whatever it is you're dealing with, and I'm not going to presume to tell you, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this, if we don't deal with it, if we don't confess it, if we don't repent of it, it will harden your heart. It will harden your heart until we no longer care or hear the voice, because we're no longer interested in hearing that voice. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I wish everyone could just go to Red Mountain one time. You want heaping ashes on something. I got this notice on Thursday, they're closing Red Mountain down. Mammy Mira and I just had to laugh. Is there one more thing? That place that meant so much and it's closing down. Not a big deal. God's still alive. But if we were to, thank you for that one, amen. If we were to close our eyes, and I'm going to ask you to do that for just a moment, I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, come. What is it in you? Now, it's already revealed to me what was in me, but I'm just gonna ask you to shut out the world around just for a minute and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me. You say, well, Ray, that's awfully quick. I know it is, but the Holy Spirit can do that. What is it in you? You can open your eyes. Maybe you're dealing with resentment and bitterness over how life has treated you or how life has turned out. Maybe you're living in fear instead of faith. Maybe you're angry at the world around you. I come in contact with a lot of angry people. They don't like what's going on out there. Maybe we've chosen to live for self instead of the king. Maybe we've built an idol out of someone or something, and we're idolizing that person or that thing more than we're worshiping the king, that is the king of our lives and of the kingdom. Maybe it's a habit, a hurt, or a hang-up, as they say in, CR. Maybe it's something like that. But here's the point. It's not just to dwell on that, it's to ask, as the Spirit brings awareness, because I think that what precedes confession is an awareness by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and says, you need to deal with this. You've got to deal with this. You have to cry out and find healing and hope and find restoration and let the Lord restore the joy. Then there comes confession, where we acknowledge before God and maybe before a close friend. We say, here it is. This is what I'm dealing with. I had to go to the staff when I got home and just apologize, because when that bitterness gets too high, you can disengage a little bit. But once we confess, once we call it out, true confession, awareness, true confession is always followed by repentance. Hello? I got real quiet. It's followed by repentance. Confession is always followed by repentance. And I want to say this, repentance is always preceded by confession. Everyone still awake? It's always followed by, preceded by, we have to repent. I had to say to God, I had to write it out on my laptop. I had to, in every which way I needed to say and pray and write it down. I'm sorry, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm wrong, please forgive me. Repentance is from that word metanoia, and it means literally a change of direction. If I'm going to confess it, if I'm going to ask God to forgive me of it, that word metanoia means to change direction. If I've headed down this way and I continue in the ways of resentment and bitterness, when I come to God, I have to turn around. That's what repentance means, and I have to head a different direction. I have to head toward God, not away from him anymore. We all tracking? That's what has to happen. We turn away from whatever it is toward God through forgiveness, and we embrace his plan, his Spirit in our lives. The Bible says this, and here's the good stuff. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. Now, we can hurry past this moment if we want, but I don't think we should. Or we can make this your prayer and my prayer once again for today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here's the thing, and here's the point of the whole message. Are you ready? We will never experience a move of God without being honest and open and allow God to do surgery on our hearts. We will never experience a move of God until we're honest, vulnerable, and transparent. No more of this pretending that we're fine. I'm not okay, you're not okay, but God's okay, okay? He's okay. And he can handle your un-okayness. I don't think that's a word. He can handle it. But what God struggles with is our pretense, our facades, our saying everything's fine when it's not. If there's going to be a reviving, if there's going to be an awakening, it's got to begin inside this house by people who will be honest with God and with each other and say, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. I need the Holy Spirit of God to begin to work in me. I need the forgiveness of Jesus, and I need you to help me walk through these areas of my life. If we want a move of God, quite frankly, it starts here. It starts in this house. As we turn away from whatever has us in bondage and turn toward the Lord, he forgives us. He restores the joy of our salvation, and he will always move through those who with a humble and contrite spirit come to him. And it's time for the church to do just that. The Bible said this, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Some of you are thinking, well, Ray, that's kind of an odd way to start a new series. Preparing the way, contending for a move of God. Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know where else to start but confession and repentance. You can start anywhere else you want to, but at the end of the day, if we really want to see revival, it's got to start right there with confession and repentance and saying, it's that old song, some of you don't even know it, it drives me crazy that you don't know it, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, it's me. Let's be honest, say, Pastor Ray, wouldn't it be better if we just talked about all the ills of the world? And we got, Pastor Dan and I got an email talking about, you know, I came to church and I expected you to do more and I expected you to preach against the sin and the evils of the left. The left, you know. Here's a clue for you. We will never succumb nor preach any message that you think's important that you got off social media. I'm just telling you up front. We're just not doing it. Okay, if we don't hear from God on something, don't think you get to step in. We preach what God tells us to preach, and that's what we're gonna hold to, if that's okay with you. We've been doing that for 37 years, and we're not changing now. Secondly, you can focus out there all you want to, but until God moves in here, nothing is gonna change out there. It begins in the house. It begins with you, and it begins with me. It begins with you and I humbling ourselves before God and saying, God, there's a bunch of evil out there. And let's be honest about it, there is. Right when you think the moral decline can't decline anymore, it does. Right when you think ethics can't slide anymore, it goes slip sliding away. I mean, let's just be honest about it. The normalization of sin. I mean, what used to be, oh my goodness, is now, yep, that's cool. Things have changed out there, I admit it. And I'm not afraid to say it is a cesspool out there. Broken relationships, social fragmentations, broken families, broken marriages, cultural identity, misplaced trust, the rejection of truth. We see the consequences all around us. Our community, our world, our nation needs a revival. It needs an awakening. It needs these things. But again, I'll say it because it's the most important thing I'm going to say. Before there's a revival out there in the world, there has to be a revival in the church. And before there's a revival in the church, it has to be in me and it has to be in you. That's the call biblically and historically. God has always used his people to bring revival. That if we're going to see a change out there, it won't just happen willy-nilly, if that's even a word. It happens between God's people pick up the Bible and they realize who they are. The Bible calls us light, salt, ambassadors, a light that cannot be hidden, a light set upon a hill. That's who we are. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation in God's special possession, that we may what? That we may declare the praises of one of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We, you and I, become the conduit for whatever change we want to see out there as the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in us and in here. There is such a hunger and thirsting by the people out there that they see the change in us and want what we got. The truth is, the world has a whole bunch of struggles, but let's not fool ourselves anymore. So do we. There are many in the church who struggle with what I talked about a few weeks ago, cultural Christianity. In case you don't know what that is, that's spiritual complacency. A complacency distracted by comfort. When politics become more important than following Jesus, we got a problem. When entertainment and social media and personal pursuits are all more important than full devotion to Jesus Christ, I think we got a problem right here in River City. Division, so you don't... Music man, look it up. We got divisions in the church. I am sick to death of tribalism. If you're not in my tribe, I don't just have to disagree with you, I have to hate you. What a crock. Is that legal? We can't just disagree anymore. Now we have to hate each other. Well, that's biblical. That should be practiced in the church. Dear Lord in heaven, save us from ourselves. Tribalism and pride and arrogance and misdirected loyalties, idolatry, hypocrisy, scandal. If I hear about one more scandal, dear Lord, no pastor should ever get sentenced for touching a child. God help us today. We need a revival, and it's got to start between in the ministers who need to weep between the porch and the altar. More than anything, we've forgotten that the Spirit of the living God is the one that draws men and women to Jesus Christ through our testimony. God hates it when we forget that Jesus alone is the center of it all. He is the King, and he is the King of all. And if the world is going to change, it's going to be by the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's time for the church to pick up that book and read it and know it and begin to live it. It's time to bring back the words and actions. You know, I don't know where it is. It's the ancient paths. We got to get back to the ancient paths. You say, well, Ray, what's that? Well, I'm pretty sure it's things like, how about, I heard they had a great prayer service yesterday morning. If we want revival, it's got. If we're going to have revival, it's got to be because prayer is the furnace of revival. We begin to cry out to God and we say, Holy Spirit, come. God, we can't do this in our own strength. We need your touch, your move in this world and in the church and in my life today. We're old-fashioned words like holiness, where we've been set apart unto God. Words like righteousness, walking in purity and differently than the world, obedience to the Spirit's prompting no matter what the cost. It's time we develop a holy discontent, hungering and thirsting for a move of God's presence and power. Unity, where the only agenda that matters is that of King Jesus, and a boldness, living with courage that will not be silenced by those outside the church or by those inside the church, and a surrender, everything on the altar, yielding our rights, our dreams, our algorithms, everything, and laying them down at the feet of Jesus, and then learning to walk by faith, expecting God to do the miraculous, expecting God to do the impossible once again. And yes, it begins with confession and repentance. What's the first step? That's always the first step. Awareness by the Spirit, confession and repentance. You know, this verse has been taken and used by every group out there. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is a message to the church, and it's about humility. It's about prayer. It's about turning from all the stuff we just talked about, and it's crying out to God. And he said, then if they cry out to me, then I can hear from heaven and I will what? He, because it's only through him. It's not through you. It's not through them. It's only by the power of God that healing is going to come to this nation. It's only through healing of the power of God that's going to impact our community and impact this church and impact you and me today. We need a fresh vision of God in ourselves. Lord, we need that today. We need it. This week, Lord brought to bear, this is what I cry out for me, and I pray for you. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, many of you, it's familiar. Isaiah 6 and 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of the voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. I mean, get that picture, that vision. And here's Isaiah. What does Isaiah say? What's the first thing Isaiah says? Woe is me. Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He's confessing. He's confessing. He's repenting. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with tongs from the altar. And when he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Yes. That's not all. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go out in and preach the message? Who will share the good news? Who will be those people? And I got to think, this is just my own thinking. I'm thinking Isaiah is excited. Oh, send me. I'm ready, God. Use me to take your message. And where did it begin? With confession and repentance. And where does it end? Being people on a mission to see the world change, not by our strength and not by who we are, but by the power and the presence of the Spirit of God out in the world, drawing people to Jesus, that we might all live for the glory of God. And just so you know, there are moments when we all get discouraged about them out there, but I'm gonna tell you, God isn't, I almost said something bad, but I caught myself. I almost said this. And I love them, and I think they've done a great job, but God is not the Mariners in the 11th inning. He's God. He is the Lord God Almighty, and you can write this down in your little black book. You just need to know he wins in the end, and he will win the day, and we who are called according to his purposes, we will stand and say to the world, see, we have a God, and he's real. And you can embrace him, and you can love him, and you can respond to him. That's the call of the church. We need to close, but I'm not going to just yet. Joel chapter 2, turn there with me, verse 11. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Verse 17, and by the way, don't put this on me. This is all of us today. Let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, oh God, spare your people. Oh God, spare my wife, spare my husband, spare my friends, spare my community, spare this nation. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should the world out there say, hey, where's their God? We need to be living vessels of the presence of God out there so that they can see who God is, who Jesus is, by how we treat one another, by how we love one another, by how we are passionate for the things of God. Now here's the good news. Say, well, I was hoping. When we get that way, go back to Vegas with me one more time. We got done talking that day where God met us in that hotel room. I can remember where I was exactly. We were walking down the street, probably toward In-N-Out Burger. And this is no joke. There's something going on inside me, this concept of revival. Now, I tend to sometimes, I walk with a stoop sometimes. It's just a hereditary thing. I felt my back straighten. Seriously, I felt my back straighten and I felt my muscles contracting. You know what my first thought? My first thought was this. I need my sword. I have a sword at home. It's really a cool sword. I'd have brought it today, but there's a new paragraph in our insurance binder that says Pastor Ray can't bring a sword anymore because the last time he fell down the stairs with it. You remember that? I was looking for my sword. Well, what I was thinking of, you know, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. It's in Gandalf's interaction with King Theoden where he's sitting in the chair, he's all old and he's battered and he wants to quit and give up. And Gandalf said, I release you from whatever's inside of you. And then he said, wouldn't the king be more comfortable or happy with the sword in his hand? And there's that moment where he sticks his hand forward and he touches the sword and it takes years off his age. You get a purpose and a mission from God, it'll change your very being. You won't feel like you feel now, but when you sense the mission and the purpose of God, that he has called you for a campaign, that he has called the church to saddle up their horses because we got a great adventure here. If he's telling the church, we got to burn the ships that we came in on because God is building a whole new armada for us to go out into the world. Burn the ships. Is there any other Stephen Curtis Chapman song I can come up with? Saddle up your horses, burn the ships, pick up your sword, because we've got a battle to wage, a fight to encounter, and it won't be with them. It's got to start in here. It's got to start in us. Oh God, may we fall to our knees and confess our sin and repent and say, Holy Spirit, fill us today. We're going to sing the song. I'm going to ask you to do something, and it's a big ask. It's a big one. Now, I've been pretty honest with what I had to deal with in my sin. I'm wondering if there are people in this room who'd be just as honest. I think there comes a time where, you know, in the old days, we used to have altar calls. Did you guys ever do that? Altar calls, where we'd walk forward. I think I got saved 3,200 times. This isn't about salvation. This is about open up the lines of communication with God once again through forgiveness. It's time for us to hear from God once again, and that ain't gonna happen if you're harboring stuff. Now, I have nothing on the line here. If one comes forward, if the aisles are filled. For some of you, I've asked too much of you already by calling for revival, because that doesn't fit in with some people's brand of Christianity. For some, they didn't bargain for that. They just want to come on Sundays. Oh, but there'll be a few in this room, I guarantee it, who will hunger and thirst for more of God, who will cry out for revival and say, Pastor Ray, I'm ready. Let's do this. Let's pray like there's no tomorrow. If I were going to add a word to that, it'd be the word urgency. We can't wait any longer, church. This is our moment for God to move. Will we be ready? Will we be ready? Would you stand with me? As they sing this song, if you want to come forward, come on down. We're just going to face this way and we'll close in prayer.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.